Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Come on, lift your hands. If you need a miracle in this place, right from the get-go, let's just believe God that something would turn for us. God, I know that there are many miracles required here today. And Lord, that you are able, as we have made a space for you, room for you, that you will fill that space, that you will make a way for us. Lord, I pray for those who perhaps tonight need a miracle to do with their finances, maybe to sell a house or buy land, a pay increase, a job. God, that you would make this a reality for us. Or perhaps we need a miracle to do with our heart. Maybe it's been broken. Disappointment. Fear around it. Maybe our mind's filled with depression, anxiety, worry. My Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. Or maybe it is healing. Maybe there's cancer in your life. Maybe there's pain. We've been looking for an answer. And that's why we lift our hands, because we know it's by His stripes that we are healed. And Lord, that we are believing somehow that today would be that day that we would laugh again at the goodness of God as we encounter a living God. Amen. Come on, if you believe that today, why don't you go ahead, give God some praise. Come on, worship Him like you're already, something's already happened in your life. Amen? Isn't your worship team just the best? Aren't they good? Thanks, guys. I'll call you back in just a minute. So have a seat. Tell somebody, I like that Kiwi already. Just say that. Just say, he's looking good. I like him. We should have him more often. Just turn to your friend and say that. Now listen, let me just brag on your pastors a little bit. Isn't Pastor Deborah and Pastor Jim, aren't they the best pastors you could possibly have? I want to thank them for asking me back. They always say when you're a traveling ministry, the first time is free, but the second time you did okay the first time. And so I'm very grateful to be here. And you know, honestly, Pastor Jim and Deborah are known throughout the world as just a gift, to the church, and have inspired so many people's lives. And Pastor Jim has really influenced my life in the way that I would do my altar calls and helped me see a new path. Pastor Jim came to our church and told our whole movement how to do altar calls. And here I am, the evangelist for our movement. I was going, preach it, Pastor Jim. You tell them the truth. And he was like giving it to them. And since then, actually, our movement has never seen so many souls saved after Pastor Jim's come and taught our pastors. So I want to thank you and honor you for doing that and having that. And you know, who likes Pastor Dan? Isn't he a good guy? I notice Pastor Dan's he's got that little bit of naughtiness, and then Pastor Luke takes that to another whole level as well. I mean, but aren't they good? I'm praying that they will become my very best friends, and we exchange phone numbers, which is always dangerous. Because we're in different time zones, so I might just ring you up in the middle of the night. And I digress. But for those who don't know me, Pastor Dan forgot to mention that I am married. And I'm sure that'll disappoint a few people I know. When Janine married me, she put a ring on this finger and on this finger, so no matter how I hold a microphone, people will know that I'm married, and that's the truth. So she's very insecure, but I look in the mirror, so I know why, you know, she would be very worried about that. Actually, at the resource table, like I've got like a you know, one of those pull-up banners, and it advertises your resource, and it's got a photo of me and Janine, because it's me and Janine's resource up there. And often I see people stop at it, and they look, and they're kind of like, how did that work? Like, how did he get her? Because, like, Janine, it was, you know, she's beautiful, and, you know, like, they're trying to figure that out. I actually asked God that question. I said, God, come on, let's be honest. How did I get Janine? Straight away, he told me. He said, Andrew, it's because you tithed while you're younger. And I thought, man, that's interesting. Because I gave 15%, and that's why I just got a little bit better than most. If you're sitting beside a 10%er, that's your fault. Amen. I found out later on that Janine never gave. Luke and Dan told me they gave 30%. Hey, we're gonna have a really great night. Honestly, we are. I'm believing for amazing things. I just brought some resource. I think we've got on the screen that tells you what the breakdown of what it is. But basically, no, we don't. Okay. Well, on here it's a USB. It flips open. It's got all of our resources. Instead of me traveling to the world with all these books and tapes and stuff like that, I thought, let's just put it all on one little USB card, because it makes my life a whole lot easier. It's going to make your life a whole lot easier as well, and it's a lot cheaper. It's over $200 worth of resource. Today we're selling it for $45. The other church is a little bit greedy, so I think I've only got like 100 left, but I'd like to bless you with it. If you need a miracle, surround yourself with the miraculous. That just makes sense to me. The miraculous isn't a one-off event. The miraculous is living in the miraculous. It's coming to church every week. This is the miraculous. This is the house of God. This is where miracles happen. On this altar, in these chairs, that's where lives are going to be transformed. But also your diet is really important as well. What you are listening to, what you're believing for. Our School of Healing is an event that we put on for one day, teaching people how to keep receive a healing, maintain a healing, and to fight for your healing. And we must do these things in our life. And so we've got Pastor Phil Pringle. He's my pastor. He is ministering on that as well. And then my wife's testimony, how she was healed of anorexia, bulimia. She was sexually abused at a young age. Her whole story, and she travels the world speaking at conferences, women's conferences, talking about the transformation of your mind. In the last 5 years, Pastor Jim, you'll be proud of her. She's seen over 45,000 people come to Christ in Sunday services. So that's not bad going. She's a pretty good preacher. And just enough to say, if you want to get hold of that, then I think that'll be a blessing to you. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me? I want to talk to you about the ability to lift. Everybody say the ability to lift. It says in Psalm 121, verse 1, I love this little verse. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I love this little passage because it's such a simple scripture, but it just kind of packs a little punch for me. I love the psalmist because he writes and he says, I lift up my eyes. You know, there has to be something in you. There has to be something in you that has the ability to lift. You know, when I discipline my children, I've got two beautiful children, and it's becoming less and less frequent that I have to discipline them, but I've got a 13-year-old, he's turning 13 next week, and my 10-year-old turned 10 a couple of weeks ago. But on occasion, when they're a little bit naughty, you know how it is, and you've caught them out, and they know that you know that they know that they've done something wrong, and you call them into the bedroom for a discussion, and you know they kind of walk in with a little bit, with their head down, because they know that what they did was inappropriate. So whether they told a lie or did something bad, they knew. And isn't it true when we get a bad report, or we've let God down, perhaps? That it's hard for us to lift up our eyes, per se, because of the disappointment. That you've actually walked into the doctors, and haven't we all been like that? where we're walked into the doctors and we're happy. And then, unfortunately, we get the bad report. And as soon as we walk out of the doctors, our countenance has changed. Isn't that true, somebody? Isn't our countenance changed? Hasn't our demeanor changed? We look down. People may come up to you and say, is there something wrong? Why? Because they can see that something wrong in your eyes. But here the psalmist says, there's something inside of me that is determined that I will lift. What I'm trying to say is, if I could make you lift, I would. If I could get down there and, you know, just like, if I could do it to you, I would do it. Because the key to your miraculous, the key to your miracle, is not to look to me, but to lift up your eyes. Yeah. He says, me. Life is more about you than you realize. You choose to win. You choose to grow. You choose. It's you. Life is about you and your choices. The psalmist says, I lift me. This cannot be your forever. The way that you're living, the way that you're feeling, when I was praying early this morning, I was thinking, this cannot be your forever. Something has to shift for you. I'm praying for you. I'm believing for you. I'm hoping, trusting God that something's going to shift. But when it comes all down to it, I lift. The onus is actually on you. I can bring you to a place of faith, a place of belief, but there has to be something inside of you that says, you know what? He's right. This can't be my forever. I'm going to lift. He says to the mountains. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. God said to Abraham, Abraham, come out. Come out of that tent. Come on, you little tinker. Let's get out of here. Abraham's like, whoa, what's going on? It's the middle of the night. Look at the stars. Abraham looks up. He says, man, there's heaps of stars. He said, that's going to be like your descendants. That many. God wants us to look up where there is no roof, where there is no ceiling over what he can do. God can do far more than you think. My story, here I was, having had leukemia, the age of 13 to 18 years old. I mean, that's just a long time, 5 years in and out of hospital. When I was 15 years old, I gave my life to Christ. Dramatic moment. In a moment where I lifted up my eyes to the Lord. Yeah, go ahead. If you want to clap, I don't mind. But here I am, 15, 16 years old, the leukemia came back. A lot more aggressive, a lot worse. When I was 18 years old, I was told I was terminal. And then there's like, you know, the doctors came and, you know, kind of give you the bad news, because when you're 18, they tell you the truth. You know, we give up. There's nothing that can happen for you. I think, well, that's bad. My Catholic priest came and gave me my last rites, preparing me for burial, because my mum and dad were in Catholic church. Who knows? That's a bad day. I mean, that's just a flat-out bad day. And then there's like these happy youth pastors. They've walked in. Well, it's kind of like a charismatic Presbyterian church. He said, we believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you. I'm like, by the way, I like that you clap. I feel like we're friends if we're, you know, like, I'll never be upset if you clap or yell out, that's good preaching. Now, thank you. Now, but I could have said to them, why tease me now? I mean, I didn't really have faith. I mean, I believe the doctors, and don't we? I'm believing the doctors. I'm believing my Catholic priest. And then these guys come in saying, I could have said to them, why are you getting my hopes up? Why are you saying in this 11th hour, God would turn something around for me? And friend, you know what? Isn't it true? that sometimes we're like that. We've believed the doctors, we've believed the bad report. So where was the miracle for me? Because I don't know if I had faith. The miracle for me was, even in my unbelief, allowing them to pray for me was enough faith. And the Bible says all you need is a seed. It was like enough faith, a sniff, a whiff. God says, I'll take that. I can use that. And look, here I am. God healed me. And that's why I don't think God's going to heal people. I know He's going to heal people. Because God healed me. It's a different kind of faith. There's a knowing inside of me. That one little lift, I decided. That little small bit. But just in my last moment, go, you know what? I'll roll the dice one more time. I'll give God another shot. God says, I'll take it. He says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains because this is where my help comes from. I love that. Where's your help coming from right now? Where is your help coming from? Now, listen, I'm not saying that doctors are bad. They're not. They're great. I love them. They've helped me many, many, many times. But as a first response, where does your help come from? Would God be your first option? You know, what can happen is this, is you get a little bump, right? You go, I've got a bump. What do I need to do? I need to go to the doctor to get checked out, which is okay, legitimate. The doctor goes, ooh, I don't like the look of that. I go, oh, what do you mean? I thought it was just a bump. Yeah, that is a bump. What do you mean? Do you think it's cancer? Ooh, we can't rule it out. We can't rule it out. Which is, you know, we have to do some more tests. So then, remember, your demeanor changes. It's hard to lift again. And now you're fighting something that's over your life. Wouldn't it be better, just an example, wouldn't it be better, oh, I've got a little bump. Bumps happen every now and then. I've got a little bump. Why don't you give God the first shot? Why don't you just give Him the first shot? Where's your help coming from? My son, he's 10 years old. Before I came on this trip, I'm driving him to school. He says, Dad, we've got to go to church on Sunday. I live in church. So like, I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, no, Dad, we've got to go to church. I want to go to big church. I said, okay, cool. I said, why is that? He said, Dad, I went to school. When I was at school yesterday, I had a really bad headache. I said, why don't you tell me? He said, oh, Dad, I just did what you did. I just did what you would do. Well, I'm like frightened about that. Like that could be a thousand things. I'm like, what would that be? And he says, Dad, I just closed my eyes and I prayed. He said, Dad, it didn't work the first time. But he said, you know what? You told me never to give up. So he said, I did it a second time and then a third time. He said, by morning tea, it had gone. He said, Dad, I want to go to church. The reason I want to go to church is I want to worship God and bring Him an offering. I'm like, whoa, how cool is that? A 10-year-old. Well, let's be real. Who's bringing the offering? Like, it's coming down my room. I hope I get the credit for His offering. Amen. Lift up your eyes. Give God a first shot. Why wouldn't you give Him a first crack? What would that mean? Come down to church. Get somebody to pray for you. You know, if I got sick in school, I would think it was the best thing. Because you would go to the nurses, the sick bay, and you'd lay on that bed. They'd bring you like chocolate, milk, cookies. They'd ring up your mum and say, pick up your son. That would have been my dream to get out of school. My son is praying in his school. Where is your help coming from? You know, I need to go quick because I really do want to pray for so many people, and I know there are many miracles here today. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. He's just underscoring again, just reminding, putting another layer on that little verse that really God is big. Friends, this is not a game or a dress rehearsal. This is it. And God is amazing. He's not angry or upset. He wants you to win. You know, my brother was diagnosed with terminal cancer recently, just a few months ago, actually. And it was a nerve-wracking moment. And my mum, I'm the youngest of eight in my family, very cold in New Zealand. She said, you've got to go down and pray for your brother. He's not in church. In fact, he's a little bit anti-church. But I love my brother, and of course I would go. And so I was really prayed up. You know, it's easy to witness to other people, but family, who knows, it's a little bit quirky. And so it's my brother, my oldest brother. It's like, oh, you know. So I'm going in. Don't really like hospitals anyway because of the smell, you know, because I've been there for so long and just, you know, associations with that. And I walk into this room, and I've got to tell you, I felt bad already. I felt like a spirit of death was already in the room, a feeling. You know, have you ever said, I've walked across somebody's grave, and you get the heebie-jeebies, you know, it's kind of, that's what we say in New Zealand, it's like, ooh, you yuck. I walked in that room, I felt, ooh, this is not a good start. We began talking with my brother, I was playing cards with him, trying to fill in time, you know what I mean, and there was another person in the room, and so anyway, we're talking away, and I finally got up enough courage to say to him, can I pray for you? His friend begins to manifest, yell at me, swear at me, say, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? I find out later that she's a witch. Yeah, like a real witch, which is kind of interesting. And I said to her, I said, well, who are you? And she said, I'm your brother's friend. We're teachers together. And I said, well, I'm the brother, so I win. Amen. I think that's a good thing. So, like, and then I said, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I didn't know what I was speaking to. And I said to my brother, how about it then? He said, do it. So I'm thinking, he's probably thinking that I'm going to go home and pray for him. That is not what's going to happen right now. I pull the curtain because, you know, there's other people in the room for privacy. And then I went for it. Started praying for him. 30 seconds into the prayer, he interrupts me. And he says, Andrew, he said, something's happening to me. The curtain, there's no air conditioning on, no windows open. The curtain begins to move. As the spirit of death leaves and a spirit of faith comes into that room. He's got a name. His name is the Holy Spirit. He comes into that room and it's just amazing. My brother says out loud, Andrew, everything's going to be okay. I said, whatever you do, keep on saying that. Because my Bible says that words have power. And friend, what you think about and what you talk about locates you. That's exactly where you're heading. But if you can change that around, say, you know what, everything's going to be okay. I said to my brother, for the next 48 hours, please, please say that. Then I'm standing there in this room. I can hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. He says, son, prophesy over him. Tell him that everything's going to be okay. Tell him that the cancer is now gone. That his bladder, which was filled with cancer and he had to use a special bag to go to the bathroom, is now fully formed. Tell him that the doctors are going to say in 2 days' time that they are embarrassed that they've misdiagnosed him. I'm going, God, if I get it wrong, he won't believe. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm not saying I always get it wrong, but right then I needed to get it right. And I was just worried that if I was to say it and then it didn't happen, he wouldn't find God. And as I was bowing my heads, this is not a two-hour conversation, these are flashes, moments. He said to me, Andrew, the same voice you heard when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit is the same voice you're hearing now. It's me. And I said, Lord, that's it then. And I said to my brother, can I pray for you one more time? He says, go ahead. So, church, I went for it. I said, today, this is the day the Lord has made. I said, the cancer is now gone. I said, your bladder is fully formed, fully functioning. All those tumors in your body are shifting off your life. A spirit of pain's leaving. Healing's coming into your world. In 2 days' time, the doctors are going to say they've misdiagnosed you. And you'll be out of hospital within the week. He's weeping. I've got good news, friends. He is now cancer-free. 2 days' time, the doctor said we've misdiagnosed him. Bladder is fully formed. Come on, you can clap a bit better than that. Oh, he's good. Isn't he kind? Isn't God good? I said to my brother, well, you better come to church then. He goes, all right. He's sitting in the front row. I'm preaching. I think if I've got one shot, I'm going to give it to him. I think, what would Pastor Jim talk about? I did a message called Who in Hell Knows Jesus. Talks about four people who have a knowledge of God but no relationship with God and end up in hell. I preached my best message. And I said, is there anybody who wants to give their life to Christ? This is my good altar call. Lift your hand now. And my brother lifted his hand. Other people lifted as well, but I could care less. Amen. That's not true. But I was excited that my brother lifted his hand. He was crying, weeping, very emotional. He said to me on the altar call, he says, Andrew, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling like this? I said, it's your spirit coming home. This is what home feels like. We spend the whole day together talking and laughing and just enjoying, you know, just great fellowship. We're driving home late at night and he says to me, Andrew, would you stay with me? I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to stay in my house. I said, I'm not staying at your house. Are you crazy? I'm going to go home. I said, why do you want me to stay with you? He says, I'm scared. But when I sleep, I won't wake up feeling like I'm feeling. He said, I never want this feeling to ever leave me. That's what home feels like. When you're connected to God, it just feels awesome. God loves us. He's on our side. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the Lord because this is where my help comes from. You know, it's kind of hard to ask God for help when he's not real in your life. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit kind of crazy. God, help me, but I'm not following you. It's kind of good if you're on his side. You know, God heals unchurched people. He did for my brother. But somehow God oversaw that big plan, you know what I mean? I just thought, you know what, today, before we pray for miracles, let's just ask that question to our soul. Am I in relationship with God? And I reckon that's a good prayer. That's an honest prayer. That's not manipulative. That's not confusing. That's just you and God talking. And I want to explain to you what's going to happen so you don't feel tricked. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because when you close your eyes, everything disappears, but your soul and your thoughts are illuminated. And I want you to ask this question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? And I think that is an honest prayer. And what I know is God will talk to you. There may not be an audible voice shouting from you, but certainly there will be a stirring, a knowing inside your heart. And I want you to respond to that voice. You know, what I've known is because I've been around this atmosphere for such a long time, this thing, there's a fight for your miracle. As soon as God talks to you, there'll be another voice, another prompting, 100%. Because the devil will say, don't you do it. Don't listen to the devil. John 10:10 says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God would come that you'd have life and life in all of its fullness. Let me just tell you from the get-go, the devil does not want you to become a Christian. He does not want you to be healed. He wants your marriage to fail. He wants you to be lonely, depressed, beaten up. That's his whole agenda, is to keep you away from the miraculous. And if the devil prompts you today, if that little voice comes, you just stamp your foot and go, devil, no. Today it's about me, my life, my miracle. Something is going to shift for me. And give God this window. Give him an opportunity so that this is not your forever. The devil may have had up till now, but now, come into blessing. Come into that relationship with God. As you're pondering that thought, I'm going to pray for you. At the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand if you want to invite Christ to come into your life or rededicate your life to the Lord. I'll see your hand. Ask you to put it down. All together, we're going to pray that prayer out loud so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. And I'm believing for something amazing to happen. God sees everything. What does a miracle look like? What does a lift look like? It can just look like that. And that prayer is a gateway to a brand new relationship with God. Come on, friends. Can we just start the night off by doing that? I think just somebody needs to get honest with God today. Something's going to turn around. Why don't you just close your eyes? Just look inside your soul right now and just say, God, today, am I in relationship with God? I think it's an honest prayer. God will talk to you. Let me pray for you, God. I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, second time, maybe visiting from another church and saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not really in relationship with him. But something has to shift for me. Something has to turn for me. This cannot be my forever. I felt like I was, as I said before, there are numerous people here saying, I cannot have another year like last year. From this moment and beyond, something has to turn. Or maybe you're here, you're saying, Andrew, you know what? It's sin that's separating me from God. Perhaps the wrong relationship. Or maybe a secret sin that nobody else would know about. But God sees everything. And I'm separated from him. But I need to come back into that place where I'm close to him. Or maybe you're saying, Andrew, if I was to face death like you had to as a teenager, if I was to walk out of this room, get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. But would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have that assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend. If that's you, just slip up your hand right now.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.